listening to the Benton County Public Podcast. This is Episode 9, the February and March 2024 edition. I'm your host and producer, Dan Krall. Benton County is a great place to live and work. To learn more about career opportunities with Benton County, visit bentoncountyor.gov and click on Careers. On today's episode, we're going to get to know Rachel McEnany, who is the Benton County Administrator. Myself, Rachel, and her dog Jaeger had a chance to get out in nature at an elevation where snow was still on the ground, as of the recording in early March of 2024. And we're going to hear that interview coming up shortly. We'll also take a visit to the top of the county courthouse bell tower, and we'll meet the technician who looks after the large clock tower and bell setup that dates back to when the courthouse was built back in 1888. The Benton County Courthouse is regarded as the oldest county courthouse in Oregon, still being used for its original purpose. Thanks for joining us for Episode 9 of the Benton County Public Podcast. On Tuesday, February 6th, the Benton County Board of Commissioners proclaimed February 2024 as Black History Month in Benton County. This was recorded at the Commissioners' meeting the morning of the proclamation, which was read by Christopher Eubanks, the first VP of the Lynn Benton NAACP.
So Black History Month provides a unique opportunity to celebrate and honor the invaluable contributions, achievements, resilience, and cultural heritage of African Americans who have played a vital role in shaping the history and identity of the United States, and acknowledging and preserving the experiences and contributions of African Americans contributes to a more comprehensive understanding of our shared history and promotes unity, diversity, and inclusion within our communities. And the ongoing struggle for equal rights, accompanied by the rich scientific and cultural contributions of African Americans, have paved the way for progress and continue to inspire future generations to strive for excellence in all areas of life. In 2024, Black History Month highlights the rich and varied contributions of African Americans to music, literature, the visual arts, and all aspects of contemporary culture. Benton County is committed to fostering an environment that values diversity, equity, and inclusion, and recognizes the importance of promoting awareness and understanding of Black history. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Benton County Commissioners do hereby recognize and proclaim the month of February as Black History Month in Benton County. We urge all residents to take this opportunity to learn about, celebrate, and reflect upon the countless achievements and contributions of African Americans to our community, our nation, and the world.
Thank you. Would you like to share any events that you're aware of in the community for Black History Month? Does the NAACP have anything going on?
We do. We have a robust set of events, so get your calendars out. Starting with this Saturday, there's going to be a movement fair, Lifestyles of Healthy Living, and that is going to be in the Albany Library from 10:30. It starts at 10:30. It's going to go for a couple hours. You can join us at the Art Center afterwards for a Black artist in residence that's going to be doing artwork there starting around noon. And let's see. Our culminating event, this is a really good one, is February 25th. We're going to be having Local History, Black Women in Law and Politics, a panel of local legislators in the legislative and judicial branch of Black women in our area, locally and in the state, will speak on the importance of representation in politics for Black people. And that's going to be at the Corvallis Museum. And you can check out our website to RSVP for that.
Thank you. I know that there are also events on Oregon State University campus, so check out OSU's events calendar if you want further events to celebrate Black History Month. Do I hear a motion to approve the proclamation?
I would like to proclaim February 2024 as Black History Month in Benton County. It's Proclamation 2024, Day 001.
Second. All in favor, please signify with an aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks. Have a great rest of your meeting.
Thank you.
For more information about Benton County, visit us online at bentoncountyor.gov. Corvallis has its own community radio station, heard locally in Corvallis on 105.9 FM, and the station streams worldwide at korcfm.com, where you can go to the main page and click the play button. KORC is a volunteer-run operation with over 20 local Corvallis DJs hosting a variety of programming. The station has an eclectic music format, playing everything from electronic music, classical, heavy metal, reggae, local Corvallis bands, music from all over the world, blues, hip-hop, outsider and experimental music. The list goes on. KORC also features local news, weather reports, emergency information, and EAS alerts, as well as community voices. You are invited to learn more about this local resource at korcfm.com. KORC is an independent, nonprofit, and nonpartisan low-power FM community radio station. You can stream the station and learn more about this community resource at korcfm.com.
Dan Crawl. I am currently recording at the top of the Benton County Courthouse, and I am making my way up to the attic space. I am walking up a very narrow wooden staircase. You can hear a little bit of electronic interference. We are near some cell reception towers, which is causing that. We do apologize for that. We are joined by Levon Atwood. He is a facilities tech for Benton County Public Works. Thanks for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We are at the top of the courthouse in a room with wooden walls, standing by a massive crank setup. Why don't you tell us what we're looking at?
Right now, what we're looking at is the clock up in the clock tower for the Benton County Courthouse. It's the original clock mechanism. You can see the clock faces on all four sides of the building, and it's not ticking, but it is actually still running.
We are walking around this device, which is a life-size device, about the size of myself or Levon here.
Yes.
E. Howard & Company, Boston, Massachusetts, is the manufacturer. And, yes, we do see a slow rotation of this chain.
Yes. This used to be a weight and pendulum system. In fact, you can see some of the weights in the corner here.
Are those made of steel?
Yes. And they decided to change it out because otherwise somebody would have to come up here regularly. I believe it was every couple days they'd have to come up here and they'd have to change the weights back and forth. And so it became like kind of a part-time job just tending the clock. And so they changed it out and they put now everything runs off of this little, basically like a hobby motor. And it shows how well geared everything is, that all of this big life-size machinery is run off of this little motor here.
How often does one have to come in and maintain this?
I try to come up here at least once every couple weeks. I mean, I like to get up here more, but I just don't have the time. And so I get up here and oil all of the mechanisms and everything. And then, of course, there's changing the clock on, you know, changing for spring forward and fall back and all that type of stuff. And also just kind of keep an eye on it. And it can be a little finicky because, you know, sometimes it doesn't ring when you say, oh, yeah, it's going to ring right now, and then it doesn't.
Separate from the clock itself was the OSU fight song played on a carillon.
Yes. The carillon, it's basically kind of like an automatic player piano. It has a scroll that has all like the little holes and everything that are punched in there for at certain increments that strike certain keys, you know, kind of like a music box. And we have a whole bunch of different songs and stuff that we were able to load up, but right now we just have the Beaver fight song for kind of local civic pride and all that type of thing.
And that plays how often?
Three times a day is my understanding. It's 8 a.m., at noon, and at 5 p.m.
And there are other choices of songs you could play, but it's kind of hard to change out the device that determines different songs.
Yeah, I haven't really messed with it before. It's one of those things where I'd have to kind of try to figure it out, and I'm a little leery to go poking at it and find out, oh, I just broke the piece or whatever. And
that's old technology.
Yeah, and plus also a lot of it really comes down to just not having the time, you know, kind of one of those things where every time I mean to do something like put some Christmas music or something like that up, but then, you know, other things keep popping up, you know, that kind of unfortunately take a little higher priority.
Have you ever had to do any major repairs to any of this equipment?
I haven't had to do anything major. I know that right before I got here, there was an issue with the cable that runs that rings the bell. It had broken, and so they replaced that. You can see that the cable looks like it's a lot newer than everything else in the building. And then I've been kind of trying to tinker with the ringing mechanism. For some reason, it rings on like the 43-minute mark of the hour instead of the half hour. Something is shifted there. And then also trying to keep it so that it rings on the hour, and sometimes things kind of move and all that. And so it's like a lot of little bent nails and things like that that kind of shift.
And how long has this setup existed here in the courthouse?
Since they built it, it was built in 1888.
Levon Atwood is a facilities tech for Benton County Public Works and was kind enough to show us up here at the very top of the Benton County Courthouse as we look at the clock tower device that chimes the bell, and we also had a chance to hear the OSU fight song, which has been programmed in since 1991 to our knowledge. And up here we do have a bell that used to serve as the fire warning bell, correct? This is about the size of the Liberty Bell, if you look at it. It's a very big, heavy bell. Are we able to get a recording of maybe a chime or two on that?
Yes.
Okay. Levon is going to chime the bell that used to serve as an emergency warning of a fire. It would probably be quite an effort to move this out of here, so I figured they just let it stay put. This is no light bell. And this on the side says Naylor Vickers and Company. This is number 890. Oh, wait, what does it say?
Sheffield.
Naylor Vickers and Company, Sheffield.
1859.
If you like, I could even force this to ring.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay.
Do you have to go upstairs?
I do.
Okay.
So.
Here is the sound of the bell that rings on the hour. I understand you also changed the flag.
Correct. We have to change the flag every 6 months or whenever it becomes as needed if it becomes damaged. And then also we have to raise and lower the flag for certain events, you know, if somebody passes away or anything like that. And so in order to do that, we have to wear the proper PPE and everything. And we climb up to the very top. There's a ladder that takes you up there, and then you tie off, and there's a hatch that you have to climb out onto the roof. And in order to raise and lower the flag, I can sit inside and, you know, do what I need to do to raise and lower it. But then to change it, I have to climb out onto the roof and stand there in order to reach and change things out. There's a clasp that's at the base of the flagpole that you have to release in order to get the flag to pass through and everything.
And the flag itself is above the bell tower.
Correct. Yes.
So if you drive past the Benton County Courthouse, you look at the flag at the very tip top. This is the man who has to change the flag every 6 months or lower it to half mast.
Correct. Yep, it's part of the job.
Is it fun being on the roof at that height?
The view is great, but it can be a little spooky. The mount and the dismount, climbing in and out of there can be a little, I have to kind of psych myself up for it. But it's once you get up there, it's a great view. And as long as it's a nice sunny day, you can see Mount Hood and stuff like that. So it's nice.
Levon Atwood, I'd like to thank you again for your time today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Before we left this upper level, I was able to convince Levon to turn on the carillon, the mechanism that ordinarily plays the OSU fight song, off of a paper script, which then programs this automatic playing of the song. I asked Levon to play a few keys, just a minimal sequence.
Benton County is looking for qualified individuals to contribute to the community's growth and development by serving on various advisory boards and committees. The public is encouraged to apply for vacancies in several areas, fostering civic engagement and collaboration. Participation in these advisory bodies provides a unique opportunity for community members to actively contribute to decision-making processes that shape policies and initiatives affecting Benton County. Each vacancy represents a chance for individuals to lend their expertise, perspectives, and insights towards the enhancement of our community. Interested candidates are invited to learn about openings and submit their applications, or learn more about advisory boards, commissions, committees, or the application process. Candidates can email pioinfo@bentoncountyor.gov. Or there is information posted online at bentoncountyor.gov. Benton County values diversity and encourages individuals from all backgrounds to apply. This recruitment initiative aligns with Benton County's commitment to transparency, community involvement, and informed decision-making. By participating in advisory roles, residents play an integral role in shaping the policies that directly impact our community's well-being and future.
This is Dan Krall, walking on Flat Mountain, and I'm with Rachel McEnany, who is the new Benton County Administrator as of this past October. How's it going?
It's going pretty well. We're walking through the snow right now.
It's actual snow.
Which is something that I miss from being from upstate New York. I've been missing seeing the snow.
It's early March of 2024, and we are at an elevation probably close to about 900 feet. So there is snow on the ground, whereas the rest of the valley, much of Benton County, it's kind of a spring day.
It is. It's beautiful out today. Absolutely beautiful.
Not many clouds in the sky. And we are just getting out to show Rachel, who is a new resident, again, as of October, a new resident of Oregon. And What better places to see than our natural features?
Yeah. And we brought my dog, and he is just absolutely amazed and running through the snow, and it's leaping and dreaming, and it's just a beautiful day today.
What kind of a dog do you have?
I have an Australian Shepherd.
What's his name?
His name is Jaeger, but the Y-A-E-G-R after Chuck Jaeger, who is the speed of sound, a very famous pilot. I thought the dog was very fast, so that's how he got his name.
He's coming up to us right now. We are walking on a forest road, and we want to just get to know Rachel and what she's interested in, because as a county administrator, she certainly has responsibilities, which we'll talk about a little bit. But outside of work, we know that we all have our unique interests, our background, our life experiences that have made us who we are today. And Rachel has quite a background working with names you might recognize. In the 90s, when you were going to college, what did you go to college for?
I have a theater degree, and so I worked along a lot of folks who are still working in the industry. We used to work in a coffee shop improv group, which also Jimmy Fallon was part of as well. So
Jimmy Fallon,
yeah.
The TV host and
yes.
Saturday Night Live
yeah,
guy?
He was a creator back then, always funny. Always wanting to go for the joke and do that type of work. He did not graduate with us, but...
But you all were the same age?
We're all the same age, yes. We're all from upstate New York, so... We all moved to New York City around the same time, and we all were working in different areas of the industry.
And from what I understand, you helped found a theater company in Brooklyn that is still operating to this day.
Yeah, it is. It's called Piper Theater Productions. My brother John is the artistic director. It's something I'm really proud of to create something along those lines. And we not only do we take professional shows to performing free theater in Brooklyn, everything is free and accessible to everyone, but we also probably train about 200 to 300 kids in the summer in theater, and they have gone on to careers. One of the more famous person would be Jeremy Ayers, who's on the show The Bear. So he's a longtime committed person to Piper. And we've seen these kids go on and have really nice careers, and they're ready for their bachelor's and their master's to go into theater. And yeah, it's a wonderful program.
And when was the theater officially founded?
2001. We finished our first season, and then September 11th came through. And we shifted as a theater company, and we actually produced a fundraiser that was covered by the New York Times and with some friends. We worked with New York City firefighters, and they actually performed in a play to kind of keep the theater company coming and going. So it's a really, really wonderful program, and we do most of our work in the summers. So.
Do you feel like because of the tragic nature of 9/11 that may have boosted people's interest to get involved in something like a community theater organization?
Well, I think everything in the arts is based in community, and you know, it is about building communities. So being able to work alongside maybe someone who's trying to be a professional actor but then is also a professional firefighter, or is you know, a young Latino kid who is in the apprenticeship program, and they're all on stage together. Yes, there's a mismatch of talent, but at the same time, it's so accessible. It also really brings more people out to watch it. The more you work with people in the community, more butts in seats. And so I truly feel like that's why Piper has been so successful, because we have such a commitment to the community.
So you have a background in theater, and you yourself are an actress.
I have been. I haven't really performed a lot. I have seen some local theater here. I've also gone up to Portland. And I will say this, and this is not being a snob, I've seen better theater locally in Albany and Corvallis than I had seen in Portland. So kudos to your local theater, because the work they're doing here is strong.
I have meant to get down to some of the theater productions over in Albany at the Albany Civic Theater. Is that who you've seen?
Yeah, I've been to Albany Civic Theater, and I've also been to the local Corvallis Theater, the Majestic, and I've seen two shows there, and once again, really, really strong productions. And I really want to get over to OSU as well and see their theater department as well.
I know the high schools have, or at least Corvallis High School has a theater company that's been going strong for quite some time.
Yep. So, and you know, arts organizations have ebbs and flows. There's good seasons and bad seasons. But that's what's wonderful about the arts is, you know, it's not about just throwing something up against the wall and seeing if it sticks, but it continues to challenge the community with different programming. And I'm seeing that here, that they're willing to kind of look at social justice issues and do some uncharacteristic casting choices, and that's smart. It's smart, it's sharp, it's challenging local audiences, and, you know, it's hey, I just got here. I got to see a full season. So,
so in addition to your work and background in theater,
yeah.
I understand you've had a number of positions working with political figures.
Yep. So my first kind of foray into like politics was running a congressional campaign, and that was really exciting. I also look at campaigns very similar to like theater. Because in a political campaign, you have a certain amount of time to tell your story, and then you have one opening night, and that's election night. So it has the same, a lot of experience. You work with a lot of volunteers, and that's a lot where community theater comes in as well, is that you're getting a lot of people in the community to come in together, get behind a candidate, tell their story, see if those issues matter, and then you have one night, and it could be your closing night. So that that's kind of where I like the election piece. So from there, I was hired, and I've worked for a district attorney who had some very high-profile cases, and then I went to work for an elected official named Kirsten Gillibrand, and Kirsten is the one of two New York senators for the state of New York, and she was appointed when Hillary Clinton became the she went to the State Department when Barack Obama was elected, and then I stayed with Kirsten for about 6 years, and then I moved over and I started working for Governor Andrew Cuomo, and I was his deputy commissioner for Homeland Security and Emergency Management, and I came in at the tail end of the storms of Irene and Lee and moved right into Superstorm Sandy, and that was an incredibly intensive time. I think I was away from my family for about 5 months.
What were your responsibilities during that?
I ran the FEMA operation of recovery, and then during the actual activation, I was I wrote probably about 400 press releases for the governor, as well as deployed all resources like generators and other needs to the area. That particular storm had a lot to do with liaising with the grid. Because a lot of the power went off and there was a lot of flooding. So I was also the individual connected to the New York City EOC, and I was also in charge of building an emergency operations center in New York City. So it was a lot. It was long, long days. And finally, I was moved over to the Labor Department, and I worked there for about 5 years. And then I went to go, the mayor of Albany, New York, came to me to talk to me, and I wanted to get into local government, and because I kind of got a little bored in the state labor department. So I went, we had a cup of tea at my dining room table, and we started talking about the budget and some struggles. She was a new mayor. She was the first female mayor of Albany. Albany has had 3 mayors in 100 years. They don't change their...
Oh, so no term limits.
No, and it's a strong mayor form of government, which is different from out here. And I basically came in and was her number two, which is kind of similar to the structure in the city of Corvallis in some ways. But and I ran the day-to-day operations of the administration and made a lot of the key hires to the mayor, created the first diversity program that existed, modernized the city when I came in. They didn't have cell phones. They had big monitors on their desks. We did not have what's called an ERP system. So I had to do a lot of the IT infrastructure. And then we also went through a nationally known ransomware attack, which I was able to go down to the Atlantic and talk about it in D.C. And that is a huge problem for all public entities, is a cyber attack. because as we get more and more dependent on technology, the risk is there on lots of levels, and especially from a public safety standpoint, because I believe government needs to exist on a very simple level, is that we need to be there for people who are in need. Despite all the other wonderful things that we do in the county, we need to respond to people in emergencies. And that's kind of where I fundamentally believe that we have to be first. We always have to be first there. And the thing about cyber attacks is it does affect our technology. It can affect our traffic lights. It can affect, of course, our purchasing and payroll issues to be able to pay people. But it really, you know, that communication key is really important. And that's why it's so important that Benton County continues to ask for funding for, you know, radio and communication issues, because we need our all of our public service areas to be able to talk to one another. And we saw that in the recent ice storm when I was here. So, you know, that's got to be and continue needs to be a priority in government.
We're speaking right now with Rachel McEnany, who is the County Administrator of Benton County. She was hired in October of 2023. She has quite a background. She has moved out from New York just for this job. You came across the country.
I did.
How do you like it out here so far?
Well, it's beautiful. It reminds me a lot of Ireland, to be honest with you. I had actually gone to Ireland in June. I've been about 5 or 6 times to Ireland. And it really reminds me a lot of the topography. I also, what drew me to this area was the rounds and rounds of interviews that I had with community members and people who worked, and the folks who worked at Benton County. And I just saw that they were really welcoming. They were interested in change. They were interested in some of my ideas and change management. I think they also really respected that I know in government things take time and things can get slow. And I'm really just kind of honored that they went with a candidate, because they had other candidates who were from here, and they took a chance on me. And, you know, I'm really hoping that I can provide a vision and some leadership and a direction that reflects the community. There's lots of parts to being a county administrator. My day-to-day job is so different every day, and that's what really intrigues me, because I'm never bored. I'm always learning something new. And there's like a lot of components to a county administrator. So first you have to, it's not a very sexy title, but a county administrator, first of all, we have to administer these day-to-day functions and business needs every single day that needs to happen. And in my role, I have to support those departments, whether it's a health department, community development, a sustainability coordinator. Where are we going with DEI, right? Diversity, equity, inclusion. Is the IT department fully staffed, and do they have all the tools they need to be successful? Are our public works being responsive and filling potholes and looking at our bridges and keeping us safe? Is our sheriff's department, do they have everything they need? So that's part of being a county administrator. And then there's kind of helping setting the policy with the three commissioners, the three elected officials, and really, really finding out their priorities and how they align with the community, because the commissioners are very, very close to the community. So their feedback is so, so important to where we need and where we need to go. Things changed entirely after the pandemic. The organization changed. The workforce change. So one of my personal priorities is to be a workplace of choice. One is we are finishing up a market study that really shows that, you know, we do not pay our managers enough. And then we're also right now in a union negotiation. Really, really important, right? I come from an organization. My last job had 13 collective bargaining units, 13 different ways of how people work. So I have that ability and respect for union work and the back-breaking work that they do every year. And remember, I have nurses, I have public workers, I have sheriff deputies. They're all very, very different. To come up with one simple policy like everybody can work 50% of their time home in their office, is that fair to the constituency that needs to get a dog license or wants to get married that day? Or wants to pay their property tax bill? So the balance, I have to think of the whole county. So even like you take an ice storm, for example, and we kept closing and closing. That was more days that people couldn't get to get their meds. So we had to open, right? So those are the type of things I try to balance every day with decision making. So it's I love what I'm doing. I absolutely love what I do. I love the people I'm working with. And now it's really, I'm starting to get out to the city managers of Monroe and Albany and Adair Village and even some unaffiliated places like ELSI and learning about rural health and work like that. I don't have a background in that area, and I don't have a strong background in our those who are unhoused and looking at the homeless issue. And you guys have been at the forefront of this issue, and I wanted to learn from you to understand it better and to try to implement. So I think the world is your oyster as far as Benton County of what we want to be. And it's going to be a lot of feedback from the community. And I am learning and respecting Oregon values, learning a lot about Oregon law. A few things are different here from back in New York. And I think we're going to have some really exciting projects ahead. We have a lot of infrastructure projects. We have a new crisis center, a new courthouse, an emergency operations center. All of these are going to need to be built. And so we're going to be building things. And so folks who are listening, you know, Corvallis in the surrounding areas, it's going to look a little different. And I think that that's something that's going to be really good.
How many new buildings total does that include?
One, two, three. I think we're doing three brand new buildings. And then we're shifting people around. We have a children and families building that we purchased. So we're going to be moving folks in from a leased space into a much more modern space for people who are going to, the kids who are going to be using that facility. And of course, mental health is one of our biggest priorities because it riddles our criminal justice system. And, you know, as you know, we have this correctional facility that I am also very committed to building. And so that's why we are going to be establishing a fund and starting to save our money, the county. So when we go back out to bond, we're going to be able to say to the people of Benton County, we save this much, we need this much, because I have visited the correctional facility three times. It is not a good place. It has a lot of problems and it's not sustainable. So we will have to build a correction facility. And what that looks like, what scale, that remains to be seen.
Oh, you haven't decided how big it would be or?
We have lots of studies. We are still going to do more assessments. And most importantly, the first action is that we're going to put some money away, Benton County, and every year, I don't know exactly how much, to start saving to build it.
What are some other projects you have on your forefront?
I mean, most of the work I have to do is to bring, once again, we talked about workplace of choice. So I want to get everybody to a good wage so they feel good about it. I want to look at our workforce and look at our EDI assessments. EDI is equity, diversity, and inclusion. It's very, very important. You want a lot of different folks at the table when you make decisions. You want people who have different cultural backgrounds. You want different ages, different gender, to help you with your decision-making. You know, I'm only one person, right? But right now, I'd like it to reflect more of the county, but also those who are kind of disenfranchised, and that we're thinking about these decisions we make, whether we build a building, launch a program. I think it just helps with our decision-making, but it's also what our younger workforce wants and needs. And I think that that's something that we need to grow. Equity, I don't know if anybody knows what equity is. The only way I can describe it is we should be able to look at a map and look at the services that we provide, the buildings that are around us, and it is an equitable place to live. This is a very expensive county to live in. We have to look at other ways to get a middle class, a working class, the poor, those are unhoused, to be able to live here. And right now, we just don't have that. And I know the governor's working hard on it. And we really have to be a lot more proactive in that area.
So if it were an issue like rent control, is that something that you would have a hand in?
I don't know. I think that has to be done on the state level. But the nice thing about Oregon, what I've noticed is we are asked a lot of feedback as administrators of what we believe it should look like. And that is kind of through associations, but also like directly from the governor's office. And I mean, I've personally met the governor 3 times. I've only been here since October. This is a much smaller state than when I came from. And I think that that's incredible. And I find like all the state delegation, I've met them so many times already.
It's not like that in New York.
No, I'm just incredibly impressed that you can pick up the phone and talk to the Speaker of the House. There's a lot of availability. So that's just another observation coming from New York, that it's fairly easy to get to your elected officials.
On that note, if people wanted to get in touch with you and maybe give you feedback, or if they had ideas for projects, what is the best way that the public could reach out to you?
They can come by the Kalapulia building in Corvallis.
And that's on Southwest Technology Loop.
They can find me online. There's a little bio. They took a nice picture of me. There's an email right there. I also have my cell phone on my business card. And I'm happy to get a cup of coffee and discuss any issue that comes to them. Some constituents have. And, invite me to your pancake breakfast or the next meeting, and I would love to just give me time to learn and listen, because again, I'm still very much learning this job.
Rachel certainly has a lot of experience, but as a new resident of Oregon and Benton County, it does help to grow the perspective, as she said, by meeting people in the community, really getting a feel for what the needs are, understanding this grand new place that is different from her background in New York, working with a lot of different politicians there. We're speaking with Rachel McEnany. You're listening to the Benton County Public Podcast. And as I record this, it is a very nice morning. It's early March, and we are at an elevation where there is actual snow on the ground. We have a very happy dog just in front of us.
I think you should tell people we were stuck in the snow.
We almost got stuck in the snow.
I think we need to be honest with your listeners.
But we weren't stuck. We were almost stuck.
How many times did you get out and push the car?
Twice.
Okay.
But
okay.
There was never a point where it's like, oh my gosh, we're stuck. We just kept moving. We Oregonians learn to adapt.
Okay.
And I wanted to prove it in that moment, and I did.
Yep.
Because the car is operational and ready to drive on the road. So it would seem that there's a real challenge, especially in this day and age. You've got a new age entering the workforce. You've got a lot of the workforce retiring. We have a global pandemic that really messed up the routine of a lot of people's workflow. Or even people's ability to focus and be present at work. So in lieu of a lot of that, it sounds like you have some challenges facing you as far as developing a good workforce and one that can be retained.
Sure. So what we're finding in general, and I want to give a little shout out to the sheriff's office, for example. I came from an organization that was down 150 cops. We know what's going on in Portland. We know what's happening in the Oregon State Police. Right now, we have no vacancies in the Sheriff's Department. We have sheriff deputies that are moving into Benton County. Why? We have to learn things from this sheriff because he is obviously leading a team that it's working, and the morale is better than ever.
And they have no vacancies.
That is something that should be looked at from a very larger national level. And I think that starts with leadership, right? So I think that is an interesting place to be. The other thing that I think we're still trying to understand is those who used to work in public service or government, they would do it for a pension, right? Pensions barely exist anymore. I am competing with the private sector in other counties, and people are really looking at the bottom line of, I'm going to make a dollar more an hour, but I'm going to drive an extra 50 miles. But the point is, I'm going to make a dollar more an hour. We need people to look at a whole package of what's going to happen and what happens. Government used to be the job of stability. Now we have folks who are going to work 2-3 years and they move on. Sometimes they'll go to another government entity, the state, the county. So we really need to study that and why people are moving around as much. Sometimes it's just, it is the reality. That's the trend. The vacancy rate up in government in general and all jobs is down. Some folks want telecommuting. Some want just the opposite. They want to be around a group and they want to collaborate and they want to be creative and they want to be in the same room. So there's got to be some flexibility there. And I think as an employer, that is a real challenge. So Benton County, we have grown about 100 employees all in the mental health field because the demand is there. That's where the trend is going. That particular area, yes, we are down on vacancies. We lose folks after a few years. We train them and they move on. We need to figure that out. Do I have an
answer
today?
It's probably a really difficult job.
It's a very difficult job.
Being a mental health worker.
Absolutely. But at the same time, it is so essential. I mean, that is where we really look at addiction and we look at our issues that we see when we go out to dinner and we see those who are unhoused and we want to do things and we want to look at it. And a lot of it is through the lens of mental health. So I think that that's going to really drive a lot of my attention in the next year, in my first year, as we move forward. I'm also really looking forward to going to the fair. I've met the fairground board. They're awesome. I'm really looking forward to seeing what kind of folks come out regionally to our fair and what that looks like. I'm just really, I think the community itself is really engaged, and I'm really hoping that more and more people will actually come out to community meetings. But at the same time, in government, more people are comfortable going online, and there's a real apathy there. And how do we bring that back? You know, we're in a presidential year. More people should be voting this year. They usually do. What is that going to look like? I'm really excited to see what vote by mail looks like here. That is not something I'm used to. That I think is also something that is I really want to learn from and see what works here and what doesn't work here. I think it's really important from a transparency standpoint that hopefully folks like you and other ones that they feel really comfortable about their vote, that it's secure. And I want to really push out some videos and work and give some tours to people so they do feel comfortable with this process. There's a lot of level of distrust in government in general and local government. We're the closest to the person. We can help you on a lot more level than the feds can. We're into tax season, so everybody doesn't like government very much. I get it. But it's kind of our opportunity to be there and serve you. So as much as we want to go remote and we got to go digital and we got to go to portals because it makes sense, there's still that person who wants to be able to talk to someone if they don't, when they want to talk about their property tax or they just want to talk to a human being. So balancing that, like I talked about earlier, is those are the type of things that we need to do. But mainly we have to serve those in need. So.
Government can work and it should work. It just boils down to the right people showing up and being in the right positions. And on that note, if you out there in the listening audience are interested in working for Benton County, you can visit our website at bentoncountyor.gov. There's a tab there that says careers. And at any time, there's some openings happening within Benton County.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a lot of different areas to go into. And whether you have your entire career at Benton County or like I discussed earlier, it's a 2-3 year gig. I didn't know I was going to be working in government for over 20, 25 years, but it really is a place where you can make a difference. You will make decisions. A lot of jobs, you don't really get to make those type of decisions. You were never going to make a profit. There's not a lot of bonuses out there, but the real key is that personal satisfaction and that mission that you don't get a lot unless you're in the nonprofit world or in government. If people wanted to go into work like this, it is absolutely incredibly gratifying. I come from a family of a mom who was an ER X-ray trauma technician. My father was a social worker, school teacher, and then a state representative. I think government works. I think it's an area that You know, we may not make the most money in the world, but we certainly are making a difference.
Rachel McEnany is the county administrator for Benton County. She was hired in October of last year and has a number of projects on the horizon, and was kind enough to join us today on the Benton County Public Podcast. And you can find out more about Benton County government. Check out their updated website. It's bentoncountyor.gov. And on that note, we have a feature that was recorded in February, and the website team received recognition for their efforts. If you visit bentoncountyor.gov, you can see the new updated website for your local Benton County government. That's bentoncountyor.gov. The Benton County team of professionals has been collaborating on updating the website, and they received recognition for their dedicated hard work the morning of February 6th, 2024, from the Board of Commissioners. You may wonder, why is it so important that local government have a comprehensive and user-friendly website? Here's Nancy Wise of the Benton County Board of Commissioners, Vice Chair.
I think it's critically important so that the public can find information that they need about their government. If you want to know what the county has said in meetings, the plans that we have, the reason we have made decisions, if you want to know what our advisory boards are up to, all that information should be easily found on our website.
This is the voice of Zan Ogereau, Chair of the Board of Commissioners.
Part of what I like about the new website is that it is consistent across all of our departments. It uses our core colors. The photos and imagery really pop and stand out. I love the white, crisp background and the fact that it is easier to navigate.
At the ceremony, the county administrator for Benton County, Rachel McEnany, had these words for the room of nearly 30 attendees.
I know this was not maybe part of your job descriptions that you do day to day, but it was really, really important work that happened. It was hard work. We are really excited that we have a brand new website, and we're still learning it, you know, as we navigate it. I knew it was arduous. I saw a lot of people on my team 3-4 hours sitting there editing over and over again. I want to give a special shout out to John Larson and Adam and Corey, who were also very, very important on this important project, this tool of how we speak and talk and give information to the constituents and the people and the citizens who live here, that we factored in what would be easy to be navigated, how should things be written, and we really relied on you to be those editors, right? And because you know our folks here much more than some outside consultant or something that maybe could have been even more fancier but didn't work in Benton County. So on behalf of Benton County, and I'm really, really proud to be your county administrator, and I know I'm still here for a short time, but I'm still looking really, really forward to working with each and every one of you. And from that, I'm going to send it off to our commissioners here, who are once again also very, very grateful for your hard work.
To see the latest updates and learn about how you can better connect with your local Benton County government, please visit bentoncountyor.gov.
Do you know about fentanyl? Fentanyl is a powerful opioid that has made its way into the illegal drug supply. Fentanyl has no taste or smell, and is being sold as common pills or in party drugs. Just a tiny amount can stop your breathing in seconds. Naloxone is a medication to reverse opioid overdose and can help save lives. It is available at no cost to certain individuals. Benton County Health Department wants everyone to learn more about fentanyl, naloxone, and ways to stay safe. You can type fentanyl aware Benton County into your search engine to learn more. That's fentanylaware in Benton County.
You've been listening to the Benton County Public Podcast, Episode 9. Thanks for joining us today. Feel free to send us an email with any feedback, ideas for upcoming episodes, or questions you have about anything. Our email is pioinfo@bentoncountyor.gov. Benton County's website has a link to pay your property taxes, information on Benton Area Transit, a calendar of events for upcoming advisory committee meetings, and a tab that says Property Search, where you can search for assessment property details, including ownership, sales history, land and improvement information, tax lot maps, property values, and more. That's all at bentoncountyor.gov, and click on the tab that says Property Search. Our executive producer is Corey Grogan. Our theme music was composed and performed by Doug Sowers. Thanks to Lauren White for his vocal talent on public service announcements for Benton County, heard here on the podcast. Thanks also to Levon Atwood and Rachel McEnany of Benton County for appearing on today's episode. I'm Dan Krall, the writer, producer, and host of the Benton County Public Podcast. We'll look forward to visiting with you again on the next edition of the program.